Good morning, and welcome to the broadcast of the First Christian Church of Pittsfield. The First Christian Church of Pittsfield is committed to reach, teach, and empower people with the life-changing message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The First Christian Church is located at 225 North Memorial Street in Pittsfield. Our phone number is area code 217-285-4129. Our service times are Sunday morning at 8 a.m. and at 10:30 a.m. in the sanctuary, and also a modern worship service, the Sunday Morning Oasis, at 9:15 in the Crossroads Gymnasium. Every Sunday morning, there is Sunday school offered for all ages at 9:15 and a Sunday school class for adults in a high school small group at 8 a.m. For more information or service times, you can visit our website at www.fccpittsfield.org or just simply contact the church office. Thank you for joining us this morning, and may God bless you.
They're in Miami. They're on Flagler Street, if you guys are familiar with Miami. They had these six beautiful palm trees, but they had been vandalized to the point where they needed to be cut down. And the Dade County didn't know if they even had enough money to replace them. And so they thought about this for quite some time. And finally, a donor, an anonymous donor, came forward and replaced all six trees and even paid for the installation of the trees. Now, the former trees had been 15 feet tall, and they made a beautiful foreground for a huge billboard that said, "Fly Delta," right there on Flagler Street in Miami. But the new trees were 35 feet tall, and they covered the billboard completely. It was later found out that the donor of the trees was Eastern Airlines. There are some times that we give. There are some times that we do acts of kindness. There are some times that we are generous, but the motivation for our generosity is not true. The motivation is actually self-centered. We've been looking at Paul's letter to individuals whom he loves, those Christians in Corinth, and he had somewhat of a turbulent relationship with them. He planted this church. He loved them. He spent time with them. And then after he left and settled in Ephesus, word reached him that they had fallen away, many in the church. Paul wrote them a pretty scathing letter in 1 Corinthians, pointing out their selfishness, pointing out their errors, and then bringing them back to Christ. This wasn't received well. He made a visit, and the visit kind of ruffled some more feathers. Some received it, and now he writes to them again and attests of his sincere love and his desire to be reconciled, his desire to have that relationship that's founded in the love of Christ, to build upon that, and also to encourage them to keep the faith and their Christ-like conduct. Now, one of Paul's passions was to bring relief to churches that were suffering hardship. If you remember in Acts chapter 11, Barnabas goes in search of Paul, and he finds Paul, and as they're beginning to minister together, a prophet comes out and says there's going to be a famine in the region. Sure enough, a famine comes, and in Jerusalem, the church is hit especially hard. And then as Paul goes and takes the gospel around in Asia Minor, his heart is for these Gentile churches to bring relief to the church in Jerusalem. And so as he presents the gospel, he also lets them know that our life in Christ is got validity when our actions line up with our confession of faith. He lets them know that to really grow in Christ is through service. It's through acts of generosity and compassion. And so in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, he notifies the church, "Hey, I want you to collect an offering." But he finds out as he's writing again that it hasn't come to pass. Now, right now, some of you are clutching your checkbooks. It's okay. Anytime that pastors begin to preach on giving and generosity, automatically people think that they have nefarious plans, that their motivations are to somehow to benefit the church. Trust me when I tell you this. When I teach believers in Christ about giving, it's about strengthening their relationship with Christ. It's about causing them to understand that there are certain things that sit at high places in our heart. To be quite honest, money is that thing a lot of times. How many of you have ever had stress about money? Yeah. The Bible teaches us to have a different understanding about money so that we do not become enslaved to money and to finances. So read with me as we are going to look into God's Word in 2 Corinthians chapter 8. We're going to begin our journey together. And I believe that when we hit our conclusion, my hope and my prayer is that you have some enlightenment into why you are here, why God has for us to be cheerful givers. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 1 through 7. Paul writes him and says, "We want you to know, brothers, about the grace of God that has been given among the churches in Macedonia. For in severe tests of affliction, their abundance of joy and their extreme poverty have overflowed in a wealth of generosity on their part." Wait a minute here. So he's saying that these churches in Macedonia were going through famine. They were having a difficult time. They were in not just poverty, but severe poverty. And yet, their response, because of the grace of God, was that they wanted to overflow a wealth of generosity. It says verse 3, "For they gave according to their means, as I can testify, and beyond their means, of their own free will, begging us earnestly for the favor of taking part in the reliefs to the saints." Can you imagine coming to church and saying, "Oh, pastor, please collect an offering"? Imagine that. "Well, you know what? Could please give me a chance to give? Whatever. I didn't get a chance. I need a chance to give." And this is what's happening here. And this is what he says. He says, "And this is not as expected, but they gave themselves first to the Lord and then by the will of God to us. Accordingly, we urge Titus that as he started, that he should complete among you this act of grace." It's interesting that he says that this act of grace, that giving is an act of grace. Now, grace, again, let's remember our definitions. Mercy is not getting what you deserve. Justice is getting what you deserve. And grace is getting what you don't deserve. Surely, God has acted graciously towards us. The love of God that He gives to us is amazing. Verse 7, "But as you excel in everything, in faith and speech and knowledge and in all earnestness and in all our love for you, see that you excel in this act of grace." Now, brothers and sisters, I want you to know this. Paul is kind of challenging their concept of giving. And he wants them to know that giving is a gift. You ever thought about that? Giving is a gift. It's a gift that to give is a gift that you are allowed the opportunity to give. Paul challenges their concept of generosity. He says, look, grace was given to you. Has God been gracious to anybody in this room? I tell you what, you may not be rich, but are you blessed? You see, there's something that happens to us when we recognize the grace of God that's given to us. It transforms us no matter where we are. Here are people in Macedonia, and they have heard the gospel about the grace of God. And what it's done is, even though they're in extreme poverty, now they're like, we want to give. That's crazy. And here's why. It says that they gave themselves first. Everybody say first. They gave themselves first to God. When we give ourselves to God first, I'm telling you, it changes everything. When we give ourselves fully to God, we recognize that, in fact, everything is His. And when we struggle to give, it's because we think that everything we have is ours. Now, I get it. You work hard. And again, I know the majority of people in this room, and I can say pretty accurately, every one of you are hardworking people. And praise God for that. If you're sitting next to someone and say, well, you don't know, this person's really lazy, then just shame on you. Just keep that to yourself. But the truth is, most of us, we work hard. And we understand that there's something inside of us that says that I work hard and therefore what I have is mine. I get it. I really do understand that. But what if I told you that, in fact, that what you have is really God's? In fact, that everything is God's. Let's kind of take a look at that. First of all, point number one is this. God is a giving God. Little Ellie read this morning. For God so loved the world that He did what? Right. Honestly, the noun in that is love in terms of that. God is love. But the verb of God is God gives. And if we want to understand the concept of God, God is love, and love expressed is love giving. God so loved that he gave. God is a giving God. 2 Corinthians verse 8, 9, and 10 says, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was," what? "Rich." Well, how is Jesus rich? Well, they gave him gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Maybe he invested it well. You know why God was rich? You know why Jesus was rich? Because he knew the Father. He was in relationship with the Father. And the Bible tells us that God is in fact rich. In fact, Scripture says that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. He created it. He spoke it into existence. He gave all of the laws of nature. He created and he established. That's why if you look at the earth, there's such a divine architecture. There's a signature of an intelligent, wonderful, loving creator that has formed and fashioned everything that's spinning on this little ball that's held out in space, and everything is on this incredible scale of balance. God created that. It is all an expression of who he is for us. He doesn't need anything. He's the ultimate in supremacy. For God so loved the world that he gave. Now, Deuteronomy tells us this. Beware is what God says to Moses to tell the children of Israel. Beware lest you say in your heart, "My power and the might of my hand have gotten me this wealth." You shall remember the Lord your God, for it's he who gives you the power to get wealth, that he may confirm his covenant that he swore to your fathers and to this day. So what are some things that God gives us? First of all, God gives us love. Thank the Lord for that. For God so loved that he gave. What did he do? He gave us his love. He also gives us ability. God gives you the abilities that you have. He created you. He fashioned and formed you in your mother's womb. He organized your DNA to give you the talents that you have, the abilities, the strengths. All of that is from God. Gifts, blessings, James 1, 16 through 18. I love this verse. "Be not deceived, my brothers, for every good and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights." Every good gift is from God. And God gives some good stuff. He gives some wonderful stuff. God also gives us protection. He gives us opportunities. I like 2 Peter chapter 1, 3 through 5. "His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us to his own glory and excellence." That's a wonderful thing. God gives and God keeps on giving. There have been times in my life that I was sure that a door closed and I didn't know what I was going to do, only to have God open a door. And sometimes I get it. Doors in your life close. But I'm telling you this, God gives opportunities. And I've come to this point to understand that all that I have is from him. And Paul makes this point, and boy, it confronts me. If I believe, if I'm a Christ follower, here's what Paul is telling his beloved people in Corinth. If you are a Christ follower and you know that God has given you grace and God has done for you, you have to allow this truth to sink deep within you. And when you allow it to sink in, you're going to be like these Christians in Macedonia. It produces something. You ready? Generosity. To say that you're a selfish Christian is a contract. It doesn't happen. And the bottom line is, we have lots of people who have experienced the love of God and just aren't generous. It can't be. It's a challenge. Paul is really confronting them about this. So my first point is that God is a giving God. Aren't you grateful for that? Here's point two, and I hope this will help you. We are like God when we are generous. And I mean crazy generous. Has God been crazy good to you? Has he given far beyond what you deserve? What if I told you that God wants you to be like him? 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 10 through 12. Paul is telling them about the generosity and giving. He says, "Look, this benefits you, who a year ago started not only to do this work, but also desired to do it. So now finish doing it as well, so that your readiness and desiring it may be matched by your completing it out of what you have. In other words, they said, we want to give in this offering. We know that the saints in the church in Jerusalem is struggling. We want to take part. How many of you ever decided that you wanted to do something and then you didn't follow through? You know what? I see my neighbor. Oh, they have a need. And you know what? They're going through a hard time. I want to help them. Okay, I'll do it next week. I'll do it the week after that. Well, now it's too late. It's going to look awkward if I bring a casserole there. So we'll just wait till the next time. Come on, somebody. Yeah. There are those of us that, quite frankly, we get sidetracked. There are those of us who, a friend of mine always used to say this saying, and it drove me crazy. He said, look, the road to hell is paved with good intentions. We all have intentions. You know what? You can sit there and in your prayer time, you can say, you can hear the whisper. And I'm telling you what, sometimes the Holy Spirit just whispers. You can hear the whisper of the Holy Spirit to say, do this. And we think, yeah, I want to do this. And then somewhere between the whisper in our prayer closet and then looking at our checkbook, we talk ourselves out of our generosity. I'm going to tell you that has happened to me more than once. And I'm not proud to say that. Fill in the blank. Somewhere along the line, from the whisper of God to the fulfillment, we get distracted. Here's why we get distracted. We get distracted because the enemy does not want us to be more like God. It's easy to get sidetracked, but you need to understand it's from the enemy. And when you truly give yourself to God, you willingly share your resources with others because you know this truth. It's not yours. I believe everything is God's. Everything that I have is God. I don't have a checking account. God has me stewarding His. And I personally, I believe that the tenth is our response to say, God, I'm showing my dependency upon You. This is my personal feeling. My personal belief. I believe it is something that God loves a cheerful giver. It's all His, and that's one way that we express that. And when we give ourselves to God, we willingly share those resources with others because we know they're His. I love the story of the farmer. There's a really poor farmer who's talking with his pastor, and his pastor said, hey, if you had 500 horses, would you give me 250? And the farmer said, if I had 500 horses, I'd give you 250. So, yeah, if you had 50 bulls, would you give me 25? He's like, 50 bulls? Yeah, if I had 50 bulls, I'd gladly give you 25. He said, hey, if you had 2 pigs, and the farmer said, stop! Pastor, that's not fair. You know I have 2 pigs. There's one thing to talk. There's another thing of the application. Now these Macedonians, they get it. So this is not what we expected. They gave themselves first to the Lord and then by the will of God to us. We give because God gives. Let's go on here and let's wrap this message up. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 through 12. I like how Paul says, the point is this. Whoever sows sparingly, reaps sparingly. Whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each one must give as he is made up in his mind. Not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that having all sufficiency in all things, at all times, you may abound in every good work. It is written, He is distributed freely. He is given to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way for all your generosity. Man, that's a good verse. Which through us will produce thanksgiving to God, for the ministry of this service is not only supplying the needs of all the saints, but is also overflowing in many thanksgivings to God. Final point, my final thought, and really what I wanted to get us to is to understand this. God gives us giving as a gift. Giving is something that God gives to us as a gift. Now, if you think this is a great message for people who are who are older now and have already, you know, no, this is for everybody. Because you don't suddenly develop a generous heart once you've matured. In fact, usually the opposite happens. Generosity is something that is formed and fashioned early on. And we're not doing a good job, I believe, as a society. My take is this, and here's old man Ten Eyck standing up lamenting our new modern narcissistic society. I think we stink as a society because I think we have created an environment where everything is about us and get, me. And we're paying the price for it. Generosity is something that we model and something that we learn. And I got to tell you, the most generous human beings that I know are Christians. And I'm going to say this as well. I'm just repeat what I said earlier. I struggle with saying, how can you be a Christian and be selfish? I don't know that that's possible. I mean, we're all there to certain levels. That's a pretty harsh statement. I think it's something that what Paul is doing is shining the light on that, saying, brothers, this is a stumbling block in your life. I love that skit that they did this morning. This is a stumbling block in your life. God doesn't care if we have money. God cares if money has you. Because that's a throne in our life. So God gives us giving as a gift. Our generosity reveals what's going on inside of our heart. Purpose-driven church. Rick Warren wrote a book and said, if you want to tell where a person is with the Lord, look at two things, their calendar and their checkbook. You can find out if someone is serious about their walk with Christ by looking at their calendar and their checkbook. Jesus tells people, hey, sit in the back and look how people give. Well, that's private stuff. Yeah, it's private between you and God. And God knows and He understands our heart. Our generosity reveals our heart. They let us know if we really believe that God, that the things that we have are God's or ours. Whose possessions are they? It also allows us to see our willingness to obey. Our generosity reveals our level of trust in God. If we really believe that God is our provider, and our generosity reveals our level of willingness to become more like Christ. F.F. Bruce said that God bestows His blessings without discrimination, and followers of Jesus are children of God, and they should manifest the family likeness. I like that. The family likeness by doing good to all, even to those who deserve the opposite. In Leadership Magazine, there was a story of four Bible college students. And one Saturday morning, there was a knock at their door. They opened up the door, and there was a really poorly dressed old man. They looked at his shoes, and his shoes were all worn out. In fact, he had two of the same foot shoes on. Man was holding a box of vegetables. They looked at his eyes, and his eyes were marbled over, and they thought, oh boy, this is a bad situation. But they felt somehow sorry for this gentleman who was selling vegetables, and so they purchased some vegetables for him, said a prayer for him, and he went on. Well, next Saturday, guy shows up again, and once again, they decided to do it. But then they began to ask him more about his life, and they found out that he actually lived not too far away in a little broken down shack. They also found out that he wasn't on drugs. That's not why his eyes were marbled over. He was in dire need of cataract surgery. He had cataracts in his eyes, and he was struggling in so much of his life. But they also found out that he was a Christian, and he played harmonica, and he was a fantastic harmonica player. And so on Friday nights, they would get together, and he would play his harmonica, and they would sing hymns, and they began to develop a wonderful friendship. They were so convicted at his circumstance in life that they decided they wanted to intervene. They wanted to do something about it. So they gathered as much money as they could get. They went and they purchased clothes and bedding. They got all this stuff for this gentleman. They snuck out to his house and they put it in front of his door. No note, totally anonymous. And they went back the next Friday night as they were getting together to have their time of music. The gentleman said, guys, I want you to know that God is good. Like, yeah, he is. He's like, no, 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 no. You don't understand it. God's so good. Like, yeah. He said, I want to tell you. I opened up my door. And there's a box of clothes. And there's bedding. There's all this stuff. It was so fantastic. They're like, yeah. And they're all grinning ear to ear. Like, yeah, we did something good. And they're feeling good about themselves. And they went on. They played another song. And he said, guys, do you know that God is good? They're like, yeah, we know that God is good. Okay. He said, no, no, you don't understand. I opened the door and I had this box of stuff. And earlier that day, I met a family who was in need. And I could give them everything in this box. There are three types of Christians. One is the flint who has to be struck in order to give, but it only produces a small spark and some chips. Another is a sponge that has to be squeezed, and the more you squeeze, then it'll give. But then there's a third type. It's called the honeycomb. The honeycomb continually gives. In fact, its purpose is to have things flow out and flow through it. Famous sermon writer compared the Christian life to that of either a river or a reservoir. Most of us, to be honest, are reservoirs. We view life to flow things into us and we store them up. And certainly there's validity to storing up for a rainy day. I understand that. But the life of a Christ follower should be something more like a river, where we understand that things God flows things into us to flow things out. And we are called to this earth not to acquire. Again, I have been with a lot of people when they've taken their last breath, and I have yet to see someone's bank account zero out and transfer over. Have yet to see it. But what I do know is that there's a promise in Christ where as we live our lives, that when we live according to how God has for us, we do store up treasures in heaven. That's a wonderful thing. And don't for one second think that I'm wanting us to be like Eastern Airlines was in my story to begin, that we're doing something to get, that our acts of generosity are for our own benefit. That's not what I'm getting at. What I'm getting at is we find a level of peace and a level of fulfillment and a level of understanding. We are supposed to be like God, and God is a giving God. And I tell you, the times in my life that I've given are the times that I've had the most peace. Which saint are you? Are you a flint? Are you a sponge? Or are you a honeycomb? Let's stand to our feet and pray. And we invite the worship team to come up. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word to us. And God, we know that you are a giving God. And we want to be giving individuals as well. I pray, God, a blessing upon each one who's heard your word today. Transform our lives that we can be more like you, that we can share your love with those who need it. And Father, as we prepare to remember the greatest gift ever given and the sacrifice of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we ask your blessing to be upon these elements, upon those who partake them. Help us, Father, through our time together, to have a greater understanding not only of who you are, but of who we are. We pray this in Christ Jesus' name, and all God's children said, amen.
The First Christian Church of Pittsfield is committed to reach, teach, and empower people with the life-changing message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The First Christian Church is located at 225 North Memorial Street in Pittsfield. Our phone number is area code 217-285-4129. Our service times are Sunday morning at 8 a.m. and at 10:30 a.m. in the sanctuary, and also a modern worship service, the Sunday Morning Oasis, at 9:15 in the Crossroads Gymnasium. Every Sunday morning, there is Sunday school offered for all ages at 9:15 and a Sunday school class for adults in a high school small group at 8 a.m. For more information or service times, you can visit our website at www.fccpittsfield.org or just simply contact the church office. Thank you for joining us this morning, and may God bless you.